Hello, Audio Boom. Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're well, guys. It's Sunday, the 19th of April, 2015, and it's about 12:40 in the PM. And I'm just making some lunch pour la famille. Cheese toasties, if you're interested. how are we all? Been a while since I recorded anything. Mainly because I've been a bit of a busy bee. I mentioned that I was going away for a couple of days into the Peak District, and excuse the funny noise in the background, I'm grating cheese. Myself and Dean Reed, did just that. On Thursday morning, we headed out from the village of Banford in the Peak District, where we parked our car, or namely Dean's car, and we literally just wandered off into the wilderness for a couple of days. We had a sort of rough plan of where we wanted to go, but hadn't really, sort of set anything down in stone. So we literally just walked and sort of made decisions as we went. We didn't get quite as far as we had intended. I think, to be honest, we were a little bit over ambitious with, when I say intended, we sort of said, oh, well, I'll tell you what, let's go up to here. We'll camp somewhere around here and then walk back somewhere along this way. The next day, sort of thing. So we had a rough idea, but that was about it. We'd been a little over ambitious with our initial sort of suggestion of where we were going to camp, but that wasn't a problem. The reason why we were so behind on time was quite simply because of the weather, and the day was just so gorgeous and so relaxed that every time we stopped for a drink or a snack or something like that, we ended up just literally sitting for half an hour each time, just chilled out, just chatting and looking at the scenery and just literally absorbing it all, because it was so peaceful. We were around the northern edge over Derwent Edge out towards Howden, and there was nobody around. We didn't see anybody from probably about 12, 1 o'clock on the Thursday afternoon. We didn't see another person until about the same time the following day. 24 hours without seeing another human, and that's not a joke, that's no exaggeration, that's the truth. And we only saw about 10 or 12 people on Thursday in the morning. The last people we saw were, there were two guys on mountain bikes just before we stopped to get our water for the night, and that was it. So that was probably, no, it was probably about 2 o'clock or something like that. The next time we saw a person was at it was about 12:45 the next day when a runner came past. But it was just total peace and solitude. Well, as much solitude as you can get when there are two of you, if you know what I mean. But it was bliss, utter bliss. The weather was perfect. It was sunny, warm. Very, very little wind at all. There was no hint of rain. It was just absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. And so we covered about 30 miles over the 2 days. The routes will be up on shareyouradventure.com, social hiking, from the awesome Daylight Gambler, of course. Daylight Gambler. It was really just very, very, very chilled and very special, and yeah, it really was. Brilliant wild camp as well. We found a great spot with some stunning views, absolutely glorious views. And because the weather was so calm, we just had the most peaceful night. I think it was without doubt the best night's sleep I've ever had under canvas, I reckon. The pitch wasn't perfect, the ground was very uneven, I had a great big lump in the middle of the floor where I'd put my sleeping bag, but it was just so peaceful. I slept like a log. I think I woke up twice in the night, very briefly, and that was it. It was just brilliant. What a brilliant, brilliant trip. It really was. And it's good, it literally was that sort of real sense of just being out in the wilderness for 48 hours. It really was just, literally we just wandered off. Obviously, you know, dropped a message back home now and again just to sort of keep in touch with civilization, just to let them know we're still safe and stuff. But other than that, it was, yeah, just go where we felt like, really. Yeah, stunning scenery. And then on the second day to come back, we decided to have a bit of a change of plan. And we dropped down into the valley and walked back along the side of the where we started from the source of the River Derwent, and followed the River Derwent right the way down through the valley, through all this lovely pine forest, and back out all along the edges of the reservoirs. So we walked along the side of Howden Reservoir and Howden Dam, and then along to Derwent Reservoir and Derwent Dam, where the dam busters famously practice dropping the bouncing bombs. Just idyllic, really was. Yeah, and then back to reality on Friday night. Nice chilled out evening, and then on yesterday, I decided I was going to just go and mow the lawn. Was my initial plan, because it hadn't been cut this year. I've never had the opportunity to get out when the weather's been right. I've either been busy or it's been raining. So it was the first time I got a chance yesterday to get out and cut the grass, and that's all I planned on doing. But we'd rehashing the garden a little bit, are we going to start rehashing the garden? And one of the things I wanted to do was paint the fence, but we got ivies growing up, four ivy plants growing up it, and they were well established. They've been there for like 6 years, 7 years, so they were well growing in. So I decided I was just going to chop them off at the roots, just above the base of the roots, so that the top of the tree dies basically and then just falls away. But I chopped it all off and then kind of realized that some bits seemed to want to come away fairly easily, so I just started attacking it. Unfortunately, it all didn't come away fairly easy, but I spent nearly all day and wrestled all four of these massive ivy plants to the ground, stripped the whole lot. So I now have a bare fence that is ready for painting. So yeah, by last night I was absolutely knackered. I really was. But it was all worth it. It really, really was. I'm still sort of in a bit of a daze, really, a bit sort of bewilderment. It's been one of those times when it'll just stay with me for a long time, you know. Really well. There you go. You see, I'm off now. I'm off into a little dream world, harking back to grouse cawing and mountain hares. We saw so many mountain hares. I mean, usually when I go out in the peak, I'm lucky if I see one, maybe two on a walk. And there were literally, we must have seen, I reckon we've easily seen nearly 100 hares over the course of 2 days. They were everywhere. Just left, right and centre, just darting all over the shop, and grouse and curlew and all little songbirds and larks and gorgeous, utterly gorgeous. Can't wait to go back and do it all again. So back to reality though, tomorrow with a bump, Mrs. Wifey and eldest lad are back at work and school respectively. So it's just back to being me and the little fella, and all of the housely chores and stuff like that. So yeah, snafu. And then haven't got much on for this week, I don't think. General organising. I'm going through a bit of an organising stage, so I'm trying to clear out my kitchen, ready for decorating. I've got all my, I've sorted out a couple of drawers that I've emptied out, so I can put all my outdoor gear away properly. Just got to try and get the rest of my camera bits sold. My lens and my flash need selling this week, hopefully, so I can go out and get my new camera sorted. Although I've just seen a leak from a leaked document from Sony saying that there's possibly a replacement for the camera that I want coming out in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm a little bit cautious now. I don't know whether to hold off and see if I can either get the newer model, or cash in on a price drop on the existing one. I would hate to buy something next week and then find that a week later it drops in price. It wouldn't be the first time that's happened to me, but I'd like to try and avoid it if I possibly can. So I'm a bit cautious now. I still want to get the camera sorted, but I don't want to lose money if I can help it, or miss out on a good opportunity, you know. So I might just have to hold off for a bit. But then Saturday I'm going down to meet up with Audioboom's very own Turbo Stream, Adrian, and hopefully Big Rick, or one word, I'm pretty sure Rick's still coming, and maybe Phil. I think Phil hinted that he might be coming, although I need to check. But we're going to going down to Malvern for something called the Outdoor Show, which is organised by a company called Backpacking Light, which is a small family firm in Malvern, and they sell clues in the name, backpacking gear. But they tend to sell the stuff from the smaller manufacturers, the more sort of niche things. They don't tend to sell the stuff from sort of Vango and that kind of thing. They seem to focus on the much smaller independent manufacturers. And it's where I bought my shelter from, my Lux Outdoor Mini Peak 2, I bought from there. So we're going to go down there, have a show every year. It's free to get in, and it's just a trade show really, but we're going to go and have a look at that, and then hopefully if the weather's good we'll go for a wander over the Malvern Hills, which I'm really looking forward to, really am. And it'll be good to see, excuse me, I'm just chucking a bit of crusty, you know when you're toasting cheese and you get the little crusty bits around the edge, often irresistible. It'll be good to see the guys again, and just hopefully have a nice relaxing day. Fingers crossed for decent weather again. But hey, what will be, will be. What will be, will be. Que sera, sera. There you go. Anyway, I did see that Simon SM2N had posted a picture on Instagram of his amazing stack of I'm not sure what the word is. Musical equipment, I don't know, music tech, I don't know, all these things with like knobs and buttons and tweaks and whistles and stuff that make all this electronic music that Simon makes. I noticed on his rack he's got a stylophone. Anybody who was born post 1980 probably won't know what a stylophone is. It's a little box about probably 6 or 7 inches long and about 4 inches deep, 4 inches wide, sorry. And it's got like a silver sort of panel on the top. Looks very similar to a keyboard, I suppose, but it's just flat. And then you have a little pen called a stylus. And as you touch the stylus on the metal things, it makes funny noises. You can actually play some quite good tunes with them. And it's very famous. It's been used by quite a lot of pop bands over the years. To add in music to their tracks. And Simon's got one of these. Now, I've got one as well. My brother bought one. I had one when I was a kid, but my brother bought me one from one of these sort of retro toy shops, you know, a couple of years ago. And I can't play it. That's all, Simon. I can play Jingle Bells. I can probably play the first bit of Jingle Bells. You know how I remember how to play Jingle Bells? Because I had it on like this kiddie's toy years ago. It wasn't my kiddie's toy. It was somebody else's kiddie's toy. And it had numbers on the keys, and I can remember seeing the thing for Jingle Bells was 333, 333, 35123. So usually, if I work on that, I can do it. And that's as far as I can get. That's the limit of my musical ability. But what made me smirk was the fact that this stylophone, it reminded me, when it was first released back in the 70s, it was really heavily promoted. And there was a massive TV advertising campaign, and the main figurehead was Rolf Harris. And you kind of think back and just, you immediately start thinking about how times have changed. And you just think, you know, this kind of smiling, happy Aussie chappy, playing all these tunes in his stylophone. And Oh, my word, yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of got happy memories, but somewhat slightly jaded now in light of recent events. But there you go. Anyway, so yes, I might dig out my stylophone and give you a rendition of my skill at playing Jingle Bells. Or the first, is it the first bar? Is it a bar you call it? The first bit of Jingle Bells, anyway. I may do that tomorrow, perhaps, if I'm feeling brave and confident. There you go. Right, anyway, I have toasties ready for my little people. I'm going to put some more in for my good lady wife now. And then I have to go into Mansfield, to the shops. I don't really want to go into Mansfield to the shops, but I feel like I have to, because I'm getting the free thing. And it's always good to have free stuff. Because I'm an EE customer, mobile phone customer, all of the EE customers apparently are entitled to get a free mobile charger. You know, one of these mobile power packs that you can carry around with you. You just, all you have to do is text a message to this number, and they've sent me your code back. And I've got to go into the shop, and apparently they'll give me a free power pack, which would be very, very handy. I'm not sure how big and heavy it is. It might be a bit too big and heavy to take hill walking and wild camping, but it'll certainly come in handy for something. So I'm going to go and pick that up in a bit, and probably have to call into the supermarket and do some shopping-y type stuff in readiness for the week ahead. So I'll get my lunch scoffed and I'll go and do that. So I hope you're well and happy. Hope you're all having a good weekend, or I've had a good weekend by the time you listen to this. And I will speak to you all very, very soon. Take care. Cheers. Bye-bye.